Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to PAION AG conference call on the financial results of the first half of 2019, hosted by Dr. Wolfgang Söhngen and Herr Abdelghany Omari. For the duration of the call, you'll be on listen only. However, at the end of the call, you will have the opportunity to ask questions. If at any time you require assistance, please press star zero on your telephone keypad and you'll be connected to an operator. I am now handing you over to your host, Ralf Benner, to begin today's conference. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much for your kind introduction. Dear ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us for PAION's earnings call on the financial results of the first half of 2019. My name is Ralf Benner. I'm PAION's Vice President, Investor Relations, and I'll be moderating today's call. I'm joined by Wolfgang Söhngen, PAION CEO, as well as Abdelghany Omari, our Chief Financial Officer. Within the next half hour, we are going to highlight some of the H1 2019 achievements, give details on the financial results, highlight the most important events, and provide a pipeline and strategy update and financial outlook. After this initial presentation, we'll be happy to take questions. I would like to point out that the slides for the presentation can be accessed by webcast in parallel to this conference call. The webcast details have been posted on our website and were also given in today's press release. If you have not already opened the webcast link, you may want to do so now. This conference call is being recorded, and an audio recording will be available later today and will be posted on our website. Before we get started, I would like to remind you that today's call may include forward-looking statements and that actual results may vary from PAION's current anticipations. I would also like to refer to the disclaimer included in the presentation slides. An Hinweis für die deutschsprachigen Teilnehmer. Als international operierendes Unternehmen halten wir die Präsentation in englischer Sprache. Wir möchten den deutschen Teilnehmern am Ende jedoch auch die Möglichkeit geben, ihre Fragen in Deutsch zu stellen, die wir dann auch in Deutsch beantworten werden. After these initial remarks, I believe that we should start right on now with the presentation. Wolfgang, please go ahead.
Thank you very much, Ralf. I'd like to start actually with stating that the first half year was very successful for PAION. We now have made significant progress compared to same time of last year. Three filings are on the way. We even have a PDUFA date for April 2020 for the U.S. Our partners are making good progress, and we also make good progress with the part that we have to contribute. For those who are not familiar with the company, I would like to start with a brief overview. We are a specialty pharma with a focus on anesthesia products and want to expand into acute and critical care in the future. Remimazolam is in final stage of development with three filings, but we still have one indication that we need to develop. We already have eight regional partnerships ranging from the U.S. over China, South Korea, Canada, Russia, Turkey, MENA region, and Japan. We have slightly increased our in-house manpower in order to manage also the future plans of supply and entering the market in Europe. We had 19 million cash at the end of the half year, and our market cap fluctuates around 150 million right now. In the supervisory board, we had a change since the last AGM. John Dawson, who I want to thank from this end for his contribution over the years, has been followed by Dr. Markus Leitdeacon, who is now having a position in the gematik in Germany, dealing with artificial intelligence and healthcare. The management team consists of Abdelghany, who will talk after me, Jürgen Beck, who is the Chief Development Officer, and myself. We are listed on the Frankfurt Stock Exchange since 2005. Market cap, as I said, fluctuating around 150 million. liquidity is quite okay for a German listed biotech company. We have 64 million shares outstanding, and we have good support by our analysts. Remimazolam, our one and only product, has potential in three different indications. The lead indication historically is different between the regions. General anesthesia was the lead indication in Japan and is the lead in, and used to be the lead indication in Europe. Procedural sedation is the lead indication for the U.S. In ICU sedation, we have completed a phase two study in Japan, and this is an indication that we want to tackle in the near future. Remimazolam is in the space of sedation and anesthesia, and I would like to remind the auditorium that sedation is a kind of fluctuating state where you move from sometimes light sedation to deep sedation and general anesthesia. Propofol is mainly used for the deeper sedation part in the equation. Midazolam historically is more used for the lighter part of the sedation, and it is our belief that remimazolam can substitute on both ends. So our competitors are midazolam and propofol, which are both generic, but we think that we have a valid value proposition to substitute both. What is important to consider when you talk about specifically general anesthesia is that it's usually, and also in sedation, procedural sedation frequently, it's usually a combination of an analgesia drug, mostly opioids, and hypnosis. So remimazolam is relevant for the hypnosis part, and remifentanil, for example, is usually given these days during general anesthesia, also in combination with propofol or gas. And in some indications, in some situations, you also want the patient to be completely unable to move. Then so-called neuromuscular blockers are added. And all these three drugs have some interactions which are very important and need to be recognized and reported in clinical trials. What we have heard from KOLs over the time, specifically in the procedural sedation part, is that remimazolam represents the best of both worlds because it is as safe as a benzodiazepine and as quick as propofol. So, as I said before, we believe that we have the opportunity to substitute both midazolam and propofol in a very attractive and growing market setting. And I would now like to hand over to Abdel to guide you through the financials.
Thank you, Wolfgang. Good afternoon, everyone. I will now guide you through the financial key figures for the first half year compared with the prior year period, and also give an outlook for the full year 2019. But first of all, I would like to give you an overview of the financing agreement with the European Investment Bank that we signed in June this year. The unsecured loan of up to 20 million euros in total can be drawn in three tranches and is available until June 2021. For each drawdown, certain conditions, as for example operational milestones, need to be fulfilled. Each tranche has a term of 5 years and will be amortized starting in the fourth year after drawdown. The cost of capital is in line with market terms for venture debt and includes three components: the cash interest, deferred interest, and a performance-related component. We plan to draw down the first tranche of 5 million still this year. Now let's move to the P&L. Revenues amounted to 7.5 million euros and resulted from the milestone payment from Cosmo in connection with the submission of the dossier for remimazolam in procedural sedation in the U.S. Revenues of 0.5 million euros in the prior year period resulted from the license agreement for Japan with Mundipharma. On the upper right-hand side, you can see that research and development expenses slightly decreased from 6.5 million euros in the first half year 2018 to 6.2 million euros in the first half of this year. The R&D expenses mainly related to the ongoing phase 3 study in general anesthesia. Compared to the first half 2018, general administrative and selling expenses increased by 0.6 million euros to 2.3 million euros in the first half of this year. The increase mainly relates to higher selling expenses, particularly in connection with the setup of a supply chain for remimazolam. In total, we show a net income of 0.6 million euros compared to a net loss of 6.2 million euros in the prior year period. The net income includes income from R&D tax credits in the amount of 1.2 million euros. Now I would like to move to the selected balance sheet items and an overview of headcount. Total assets increased by 1.3 million euros compared to the end of 2018. This mainly results from a decrease of trade receivables by 1.5 million euros due to the receipt of milestone payments in connection with the filing in Japan on the one hand, and an increase of the tax credit claim by 1.1 million euros for the first half year 2019, as well as an increase of cash and cash equivalents on the other hand. As you can see on the upper right-hand side, cash increased by 2 million euros compared to end of 2018 and amounted to 19.2 million euros as of end of June. This increase essentially comes from positive cash flows from operating activities in the amount of 2 million euros. As you can see on the lower left-hand side, equity increased by 0.6 million euros to 21.4 million euros, mainly as a result from the net income for the first half year. The equity ratio was 83.3% as of end of June. The staff development is illustrated on the lower right-hand side compared to an average number of 39 employees in 2018. We had staff of 44 employees on average in the first half of this year. Finally, I would like to give an outlook for full year 2019. For the purpose of comparison, you can see the actual figures for 2018 in the left column. For the rest of the year, our main focus remains on the development program in Europe, the ongoing global regulatory processes, as well as the manufacture and supply chain for remimazolam. Regarding revenues, we expect these to amount to approximately 8 million euros, thereof 7.5 million euros in connection with the NDA filing in the US already realized, and 0.5 million euros are related to the transfer of the Japanese filing dossier or transfer of the US filing dossier to our partner Airfarm. Given the ongoing development activities, including the European phase 3 study, we will continue to incur significant R&D expenses, which we estimate to be in a range of about 13 to 15 million euros. SG&A expenses will increase to approximately 4 to 5 million euros, mainly because of pre-commercial activities. Based on the estimate for the R&D expenses, we expect tax income from R&D tax credit in the amount of approximately 2 million euros. In total, we expect a net loss in the amount of approximately 7 to 10 million euros. Regarding our liquidity, cash at hand plus expected tax credit secure a cash reach into the second half of 2020 based on current planning. Until filing for market approval in general anesthesia in Europe, further funds of about 10 million euros will be required based on current planning. This funding requirement could partially or completely be covered by the financing agreement with the European Investment Bank. Thank you so far. Now I hand back to you, Wolfgang.
Thank you very much, Abdel. Just a few highlights on why we believe that remimazolam is a great opportunity and why we believe in the success in the long term. When you talk about sedation and anesthesia, the big discussion hinges around safety. And here remimazolam has significant offerings compared to the existing drugs. I would like to highlight the improved hemodynamic stability, which makes it better suited for the aging population as the most important ones, and we come to that specifically when we discuss general anesthesia. efficiency is as good as the current drugs because it cannot be better than 100%. Patient experience is very positive based on feedback that we had during the procedural sedation trials. We assume that we offer cost savings to institutions by exchanging the current drugs with remimazolam. Remimazolam belongs to the class of benzodiazepines, but it's the first one that's really very short-acting, which is very important. We have significant market protection with IP in the different region in the major markets. We have shown very good safety and efficacy in more than 500 patients now on and volunteers on drugs. As I have said before, we have three different indications, two of which are in filing and ICU sedation, which we still have to develop. We believe that the overall market opportunity is something like 500 million globally per indication. And so far, we are very happy with the results that we have achieved. Let me now briefly touch upon the U.S. market because it is significantly differing from what we are used to in Europe. The U.S. market has a specificity insofar as colonoscopy screening is the highest in the world, which has led to a reduction in the occurrence of cancer and colon cancer. So therefore, this screening is growing over time. This is a growing market, and there are more than 20 million colon screenings per year. So this is a significant individual market which is not available in other territories of the world. And this was also part of the reason why the lead indication for the U.S. was procedural sedation. On the next slide, you can see the highlights of the results of the phase 3 program that was discussed and agreed with the FDA. There were three trials, one in bronchoscopy patients, one in essentially healthy screening patients, and one safety study in very sick patients. And if you compare the blue bars with the light blue and orange bars, you see that the results across the three trials are comparable. The midazolam results are probably regarded as very low if you look at this, but this is due to the specific response definition. In the end, all of the people participating in the trials received a colonoscopy. But the question was, how soon can you start a procedure and can you start it with a predefined dosing regimen? And here, remimazolam clearly shows significant improvement. And part of this is relating to the onset time, which is significantly shorter than midazolam at the dose, that's the labeled dose in the U.S., and it is also significant quicker wake-up time, which makes it looking like a propofol situation. So we have gained approximately 22 minutes per procedure in colonoscopy, which let physicians do significantly more procedures per day per bed than with midazolam. And we were told by our investigators that with this drug they can do the same amount of patients as they can do with propofol. So where we are in the process, currently the NDA is under review, so our partner Cosmo receives questions and then we answer those questions to the FDA jointly, we accept that market approval may be coming in April 2020 if things go according to plan. We have a significant new situation in Europe because the marketing authorization application for Europe can hopefully still happen this year. Based on feedback from EMA, we have started to work on the dossier already. and we will be able to submit a marketing authorization based on the U.S. dossier. And the thing that is that we still need to see whether we can get agreement on the pediatric plan in due course with the agency, because this is a precondition to filing. But the team is already working full steam on getting ready to file towards the end of the year. In general anesthesia, the current problem is that with the aging population, the known hypertension that goes along with the existing drugs is causing problems, and it has been now repeatedly reported that this leads to increased mortality and morbidity, although these patients survive the operation and the surgery and the anesthesia. The effects of hypertension during the intervention leads to cardiac problems, problems like stroke and kidney damage. And this is all due to significant hypertension, and we have data from our Japanese trial and our trial in cardiac surgery showing that remimazolam has significantly less hypotensive events. And therefore, we believe we have a very interesting value proposition in general anesthesia, and our trial in Europe, which I will describe later, is designed to exactly show and deliver those data. The next two slides are just for reading, but they highlight the current discussion. It is previously there was a belief that injury in the heart only occurs during bypass surgery. It now has become clear that these mentioned hypotensive events also have significant negative impact on normal patients which are not undergoing cardiac surgery but other surgery. Imagine someone with a cancer who is already compromised in their health having significant hypotension leads and adds to the damage and the mortality. And it is there are independent studies reporting the same, and discussions at meetings of a lot circle around how to prevent hypertension and during surgery, and remimazolam is discussed as being one of the upcoming alternatives. The design of the phase 3 trial in Europe, where we have recruited now more than 200 patients, is a multicenter trial. We have Germany, France, Italy, Switzerland, the Netherlands, UK, and Belgium in the trial. And as you see in the blue box, the primary objective, of course, is to show that this is active as an anesthetic agent, but the key secondary objective is to show improved hemodynamic stability compared to propofol, and in the next couple of slides I will show you some data on this. So we assume that patient recruitment can be completed in the first quarter 2020, and now with the new plan to apply for approval in procedural sedation, the general anesthesia will then be the second indication, which reduces the overall time and effort and volume of the dossier, so that we assume that we still will be able to file in a similar time frame that we had planned initially with general anesthesia with the current timeline. And also we have feedback from people who understand the market that it is really very good to launch first with procedural sedation, because it gives physicians the opportunity to get used to remimazolam, get comfortable with it, which is easier in a procedural sedation situation compared to general anesthesia. So we have seen that the learning curve in individuals and sites for procedural sedation is much steeper than the learning curve in general anesthesia, because it's a much more complicated and delicate setup, and because physicians are aware of the and want to protect the patients, they are very careful and conservative. So this is part of the difference, and we believe that if they can use and get used to remimazolam in procedural sedation, this will also support getting the launch in general anesthesia with a better uptake. On the next slide, you see why we believe that we have a significant advantage over propofol based on the Japanese data. You see that there's a significant reduction in hypotension and the mean arterial pressure below 60 millimeters mercury is definitely something that you do not want to have. It is now clear that both the hypotension and the duration of hypotension and also the requirement for vasopressors both contribute to damage of brain, kidney, and heart. And the third one could be too deep sedation. So how do we see the market in this indication? The overall number of surgical procedures in Europe is growing. It is now more than 70 million. All anesthesias are around 30 million plus, and general anesthesia, so not all patients receive general anesthesia, is something like 28 million, and of these are 14 million high-risk patients, which essentially represent the current situation in European hospitals. More than 50% of patients are now older than 60 years, and most of these patients have a comorbidity, and therefore they are more prone to suffer from this hypotension, and this is how we want to position remimazolam, and this is also how the current trial has been designed, because we are taking on board patients which are more sick than they used to be in the Japanese trial. ICU sedation we see as a large opportunity that we have not addressed at this moment in time, but part of the reason why we received the grant from AEB is are our plans that we will also address this indication. We have already exchanged ideas about this with investigators, but we have no active planning on when we will start the indication, but we do this as we focus our efforts on this as soon as the filings have been successfully complete. Not the filings, when we have the approvals. I'm sorry. So, again, this is a very attractive market with 14 to 15 million patient days requiring sedation while they stay on the ICU. And that's the combination of the U.S. and European markets. Again, here, hemodynamic stability is key for the survival and quick improvement of patients. And this is why investigators are asking us when we are coming with a trial in ICU sedation, because they believe that remimazolam will have significant advantages. I've mentioned in the beginning the activities of our partners. Let's start with Japan. Mundi Pharma has filed in December, and we are hopeful that market approval could be achieved still this year. In South Korea, planning is currently to file towards the end of this year. In Russia, similar situation, filing by the end of 2019. In Turkey, we have a new situation because R-Farm, who was the co-owner of TR-Farm, is now in charge, and we are discussing currently with them which of the dossiers they prefer to use for filing. In Canada, Pion expects PharmaScience to use the market approval for their own filing, which is the usual way Canada operates. In China, we know that remimazolam is under investigation of the Chinese authorities, but we are not able to give a clear guidance on the timing because there is no clear guiding by the agencies like with the FDA on the PDUFA date. This is not available for China, so that is why we have no answer to this. I will visit China in September. Maybe by then I will learn more so that in November we can give you a relevant update here as well. On the next slide is an overview of the deals that we have signed. So far we have received 44 million out of this, including the milestone by Cosmo earlier this year, and there are outstanding 76 million in milestones to come, and attractive royalty rates, which are depending A, on the time of when the deal was closed, and B, on the type of market, because it's natural that in an emerging market, you're not able to get the same price as in the Western world. Now, people are more and more asking us, what's beyond remimazolam? Well, the answer is let's first get remimazolam over the finish line, so that is our current focus. We wait for first market approvals in Japan, China, and also in the U.S., completion of the European trial in general anesthesia is upcoming early next year, and potential market approval in the U.S., as I mentioned before, the PDUFA date is in April, so hopefully when we are in May next year, we have three approvals and one more important clinical trial completed. And beyond remimazolam, our focus will be on acute and critical care because there are not so many new drugs around for general anesthesia or sedation, but we will look for complementary products that fit to this. We plan to market in Europe ourselves in selected markets, and we also understand that we need to get in additional products to reduce the cost of marketing for one drug alone. And in principle, we believe that integration is a needed step to make Pion a profitable pharma company. And so we have started those activities. Supply chain is a very active topic right now. We have hired a person who is experienced, has a long history within the CMO, understands the business, and knows how to set up what we need in order to deliver the product to our European customers and patients. Right? I hand back to you.
Thank you very much, Wolfgang and Abdel, for the presentation. Now we would like to start the Q&A session.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you change your mind and wish to withdraw your question, please press star 2. You will be advised when to ask your question. The first question comes from the line of Simon Scholes from First Berlin. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. In the press release, you've talked about putting in place complementing financing measures to finance your own commercialization in selected European markets. And I was wondering, in view of the recent debt agreement, whether those financing agreements will necessarily involve equity or whether you could finance yourself in the future with respect to at least the current product portfolio purely over debt?
Indeed, we're looking at other financing measures. And here, again, we're looking at the full range. So it's equity, it's debt, but it's also a mix of equity and debt, like convertibles.
Right.
Yes. I mean, it's clear that the milestones that we're expecting from the deals we have in place are a significant source of financing. But there, it all depends on, you know, when do those milestones come in. So there are somehow moving targets. And then, of course, we have now the deal in place with the EIB. And then we will further define our plans and our strategy to market here in Europe And then those three elements, we will then work out what exactly we will do and when.
Yes, I mean, it just occurs to me that in 2020, I mean, you'll be getting your first revenues both in the US and Japan, and you'll be getting, presumably you'll be getting additional milestone revenues. So those two elements of income should significantly reduce the financing requirement as well and boost your equity. So that one can imagine a scenario under which at least the current product portfolio is purely debt financed, thereby basically eliminating any further dilution. And does that sound realistic to you?
Yes, I think what you're saying is right. So we have significant milestones and inflection points upcoming, and then also coming along with these events, significant financing that will certainly help. And then we will see what balance will be there. I don't think it will be huge, but if there is a balance, then we will work out how to close this.
Okay, thanks very much.
The next question comes from the line of Christian Ehrmann from SMR Research. Please go ahead.
Hello, thank you for taking my question. Could you give us a little more details on the process regarding the type 2 variation application with the EMA and resulting timetable for the market entry in the EU? Thank you.
At this stage, this is a plan. We assume that we file procedural sedation towards the end of the year. If everything goes according to plan, this should be completed by the end of next year. And then we will have our general anesthesia dossier ready based on the current planning. And then we assume that the overall approval time for general anesthesia could be between 3 and 6 months faster than if it would be submitted as a first indication. Because based on the application and procedural sedation, significant information on example production, on supply chain, etc., will be available, and therefore the overall review time will be less. That's the current plan.
Thank you very much.
We have no questions in the queue. Please be reminded, if you want to ask a question, press *1 on your telephone keypad. There are no further questions from the English-speaking participants, so I will hand you back to Ralf Penner. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you very much to everybody for your questions. Und an dieser Stelle möchten wir, wie angekündigt, dann jetzt auch den deutschsprachigen Teilnehmern die Möglichkeit geben, ihre Fragen zu stellen.
Vielen Dank. Sie haben jetzt die Möglichkeit, Ihre Frage zu stellen. Bitte drücken Sie hierzu die Tastenkombination *1 auf Ihrer Telefontastatur. Möchten Sie Ihre Frage wieder zurückziehen, drücken Sie bitte die Tastenkombination *2. Wir haben keine weiteren Fragen.
Gut, dann steht natürlich jederzeit die Möglichkeit offen, im Nachgang auch bei mir persönlich vorzusprechen, und ich versuche dann natürlich auch auf diesem Wege die Fragen zu beantworten. Thank you very much, everybody, for joining us for Pion's earnings call on the financial results of the first half of 2019. I hope that we have been able to answer your questions, but of course, please feel free to give me a call afterwards. If you would like to listen to this call again, please visit our website, where the audio recording will be posted later today. For now, I say goodbye und auf Wiedersehen, and thank you very much for your continued interest in PION.
Thank you for joining today's conference. You may now disconnect your lines. Hosts, please stay connected.